Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Immortal Death by Loretta Hignett, narrated by Julianne Irons. Chapter 1.
Mon Dieu! What have you done? Pauvre con!
I barely even noticed the tiny gruff voice swearing at me in French. It was a squeak on the wind, a nothing sound, easily dismissed. There was no one else around anyway. Not a soul in the town square apart from us. So maybe it was a fragment of my fractured mind. My conscience, perhaps. The ghost of all my poor choices. I chuckled softly. The voice chose a bad time to try and make itself heard. Right now, right at this very second, despite all the earth-shattering events that were probably about to unfold, I couldn't bring myself to care about anything except for the gorgeous hard man underneath me. The ground shook. A deep, subtle, ominous rumble. I could hear the ancient's screams echo through the dimensions, piercing every single realm with its furious cry. Every other time in my long, long history, that deep scream of outrage and that rumbling of the earth would signify the beginning of my worst nightmare. It meant a terrifying chase, a cold sweat flight for safety, 3 days of running or he'd catch me. That sound should have reduced me to blind, gibbering terror. This time, though, I didn't give a fuck. I was still straddling my lover on a park bench in the town square, with a glistening sheen of sweat on my skin from our lovemaking. There was an impenetrable pocket dimension fixed around the portal. I was safe. I tipped my head back and laughed, watching gold-red sparkles trail from my hands as I waved them through the air. My skin was glowing. I've never noticed this before, I said wonderingly, twinkling my fingers in the darkness. I've never appreciated my full powers. I never got the chance to play with them. I was always too busy running. I brushed a glowing red gold fingertip over Raphael's lips. They parted softly. His eyes were so dark, still drenched in lust, watching me with an expression of wonder on his face. I knew what he felt like. Being with him, wholly completely, was everything I ever hoped it would be, and more. I giggled lightly, hearing my voice trill prettily like a wind chime. Oh, it was definitely more. I'd been avoiding trying to use my full powers my whole life. I squashed them down deep inside me. Every time I was forced to pull them out, that mysterious, ancient, powerful creature would blaze into our reality in a fit of murderous outrage. He'd hunt me, find me, and rip me into tiny pieces. And every single time the ancient did that to me, I would regenerate from one of those tiny pieces he tore me into. Sometimes it took decades to fully heal. The whole time I recovered, I was in torturous, agonizing physical pain. It was the worst thing about my existence, the cruel irony of my curse. I had a full arsenal of power at my disposal, and I could never use it. There were so many times in my long, long history that I gave in to whatever asshole was harassing me, because if I used my full powers to fight them off, the ancient would do much, much worse. I didn't know who the ancient was or why he hated me so much. Nobody knew. I'd run down every lead and investigated every powerful creature I'd ever heard of, and nothing had come up. He hadn't been seen on Earth before, not by anyone. He didn't match any description of any other mythical creature. His powers were godlike, and he didn't seem to care about anything at all apart from doing his best to destroy every part of my body. I even considered the idea that he might be the creator itself, a facet of the creator maybe, a jealous manifestation of some sort, annoyed that I'd blunder into this green earth when I wasn't supposed to be here. I could only guess he despised me for what I was, because there was no one like me on Earth. Half human, half star. I'd gone my whole life stuffing down the star part, because it brought me nothing but pain. Not anymore. I remember the first time I did this, I murmured in Raphael's ear. The first time I'd used my full power, I'd fallen into a creek and I was scared. I was with my aunt, and she couldn't get to me. I reached deep inside myself and pulled at the power I could feel at my core, and I leapt straight out of the water like a crocodile. My aunt was terrified. I giggled. She ran into the grasslands screaming. It took me a whole day to convince her I was fine. Of course, I added, grimacing. The ancient found me the day after that and ripped me apart. I watched him coming, a great beast made up of thousands of eyes and enormous wings. I must have had the dumbest look of wonder on my face. I didn't remember much after that. The memories were fuzzy. It was a long time ago. 250, maybe 300,000 years ago. I was immortal. The only true immortal on Earth, in fact. No matter what I did, I couldn't die. Believe me, I tried. I'd tried everything. Apart from the usual practical methods anyone would use to induce death, like beheading or throwing myself into lava pits, I'd tried sorcery, witchcraft, demonology, even invoking various gods and goddesses, every time hoping that one of them would be able to end my curse for me. Nothing worked. Every time I was hurt, I regenerated, sometimes from a speck of dust. It was beyond intolerable. I'd spent millennia as a suicidal person who couldn't kill themselves. I doubt there was a more miserable person alive than me. Not now, though. Not anymore. I'd come to Emerald Valley on a mission. I was here to find the one person who knew how I could become mortal, but I'd found much more than that. I'd found a lover, my vampire king Raphael, someone who inexplicably loved me for the car crash of a person that I was. I'd found a sister in Marigold, the sweet, lovable witch who would do anything for me. I'd found a grumpy sister-in-law in her wife, Beckman. I'd found a hilarious, curmudgeonly grandpa type in Father Benson, whom I'd just laid to rest. And I found my kid. Or rather, he'd found me. I rescued Leroy. He rescued me right back. And I loved him with all my heart. I'd never been prouder of anything in my entire life. For the first time ever, I had people to love, who loved me in return. Not for my immortality, or my strength, or what I could do for them. They loved me for me, and I loved them right back. And, also for the first time ever, I wasn't in a hurry to die. In Emerald Valley, I'd found life. The only thing I hadn't found yet was my father. He was the only one who knew what I was. My father had been human in the end, completely human, in fact. But he'd been something else when I was born, something unknown, something not of this world. A star, apparently. A creature so rare and obscure, only the most ancient fae could recognize my scent. It was a fairy queen who told me that I am part star. She didn't have the language to explain herself more clearly, and was slightly bemused by my apparent parentage. Apparently, the stars as she knew them did not come to Earth. Ever. To confuse things even further, the demons I just fought were convinced I was one of them. According to them, my essence felt the same. Since the demon Hagenti had mentioned it, I was rolling a theory around in my head that my father had been some sort of ancient benevolent demon god or something like that. I couldn't be sure, and I might not ever find out. By the time I'd been old enough to form proper memories, my father had been completely, entirely wholly human, and he'd died, just like humans did. He'd been reborn, too. Over the course of the last few hundred thousand years, I'd met him again and again, always reincarnated in a new body, but still the same soul I'd known. He still had that same curiosity and love for humanity that was so uniquely him. He loved being human. On the rare occasion I managed to find him again, I demanded that he tell me what I needed to do to become human like he did, so I could die. His answer was always the same. Live. Kinda a slap in the face for someone who only wanted to die. Ironically enough, it was what Benson had said to me as he was dying in my arms. I had to live. The thought occurred to me that he might have been my dad, but it didn't feel quite right. In all our lives together, my father was always protecting me, always guiding me, regardless of what body he wore. Benson, by contrast, always got me into trouble. He had more of a naughty best friend energy to him. My father was here somewhere, though. I just didn't know who he was. The witch who scribed for him told me that he wouldn't be in town when I arrived, but he would be back, and soon. I checked out every single man in the valley, but came up with nothing. Granted, my mission to find my dad kept getting interrupted by evil bastards trying to destroy the world. I'd find him eventually, though. I'd come to Emerald Valley to find my father, and I'd found so much more here. I'd saved the world on a few different occasions, in fact. I'd come here to find out how to die, and instead, I learned how to live. And now, with my full powers flaming inside me, my vision heightened, and my senses on fire, I was more alive than I ever had been. I wasn't in any hurry to place myself on the mortal coil and shuffle off it. Not when I had friends who loved me, family who adored me, and Raphael underneath me. The earth shook again, a gentle rolling tremor. Raphael's brow had furrowed slightly. He was worried. I curled myself around him, holding him tighter, reluctant to let him go. "It's okay," I whispered. "The ancient can't touch me. The pocket dimension is warded especially for him. I made sure of that. He won't be able to get out." My eyes narrowed. For the first time in history, I'll have him exactly where I want him. In an instant, I'd gone from floaty, horny bliss to snarling vengeance. I bared my teeth, growling softly. What I wouldn't give to get into that pocket dimension and rip him apart, give him a taste of his own medicine. Revenge. Bloody, torturous revenge. I wanted it so bad it made me gnash my teeth. The ground rumbled underneath us again. Not so subtle this time. He was coming.
"Imogen," Raphael murmured. "We must prepare, just in case. He is unknown. I fear for your safety."
His lips were so close to my ear, the vibration from his words tingled down my neck and into my breasts. I arched my back and moaned again, in a bizarre, abrupt volte-face. I wasn't angry anymore. I was just horny. I bit my lip and ground myself against Raphael, unable to concentrate, helpless in the river of lust that surged through me. He shifted underneath me, sending jolts of pleasure right through my body. I rubbed my bottom lip along his jawline, moaning softly. It was so hard to concentrate on anything right now. Not while I was glowing golden, saturated in my full star powers, consumed with thoughts and feelings and sensations, experiencing the entire spectrum of human, and apparently, star emotions at the same time. I let my head loll back and I moaned, arching against my lover. The ground shook again. Above us, I sensed, rather than saw, the portal pulse. The invisible pocket dimension wrapped around it shimmered once, a rippling lavender glow in the darkness. Suddenly, a scream rent the air, ripping through my eardrums. A scream of such pain and misery and outrage, I felt it smash into the depths of my soul.
"Imogen!"
Raphael swooped me to one side and stood up, placing me on my feet next to him. I bared my teeth and laughed. "It's okay. Let him come." I curled my hands into claws as battle lust gripped me again. Oh, all these feelings. My emotions were heightened. Everything was so intense. "Let him come," I growled again. The portal pulsed again. The earth beneath my feet trembled and... A vicious jolt rocked the earth as a mighty force hit the ground in front of me. I was knocked off my feet, my hands sandwiched over my ears, as the ancient's scream ripped through our earthly dimension. He was here. Chapter 2. Suddenly, there was only silence. The town square was deathly still. I got to my feet slowly, hauling Raphael up with me. I chuckled. We've got him. He inspected the blank space in front of us.
How can you be sure, my love? There is nothing here.
I can feel him, I whispered, holding my hands out to where the pocket dimension would be. I know he's in there. He's watching me. I smiled and held up my hand, letting my star powers light up the space in front of me, an eerie red-gold glow. I could feel his pain. I heard a note of gloating in my voice. He's furious, outraged, completely tortured by my presence. I laughed out loud again. It's delectable! Raphael pulled me closer, watching my face carefully. Imogen. He tilted his head slightly, concern coloring his features.
Are you okay?
Of course I am. I've never been better. I've got my lifelong nemesis stuck in a tiny pocket dimension. He's in a cage. He can't get me. I flexed my fingers, cracked my knuckles, and scowled. I want to beat the shit out of him. Raphael wrapped his arm around me, and I melted into him. God, he was perfection. All hard muscles and smooth skin. So firm. The memory of him inside me. I pulled him back down, practically throwing him back on the park bench, jumped on top and straddled him, desperate to feel his bare skin on me again. My head whipped back to the invisible pocket dimension. I wanted to tear the flesh off the ancient. Raphael was so hard underneath me. I growled and rubbed myself up against him. Ugh! I shouted out loud. This is too much! My love. Raphael stroked a finger down my cheek, and I dissolved into him.
You are like a newborn vampire, so full of lust and hunger and heightened emotions. You cannot focus. I understand.
I laughed. I guess I am a bit like that. All this... this... I held up my hands, mesmerized by the glow running over my skin. This power... it's insane. I can't concentrate. I want to tear the ancient apart. I want to love every single inch of your skin. And I want to rip open the vending machine back in the pub and shove every single packet of Doritos in my mouth at once.
It's okay, Raphael murmured.
He put both hands on either side of my cheeks and held my gaze.
You'll get used to it. And if you can't, you can dial down your powers, can you not?
Yes, but I don't want to, I growled.
My menace was considerably reduced by the fact that Raphael was squishing my cheeks between his hands.
I don't ever want to dial down my powers again. I've been hiding my candle underneath a bushel for far too long.
He smiled.
And you are glorious, he said to my squished-up face. A goddess.
A high-pitched but gravelly voice grunted right next to us.
None! She's a stupid salope! What in the blazes have you done, harlot?
Shit! I shot up and off Raphael's lap, landing beside the park bench, frantically adjusting what was left of my clothes. My bra had somehow disintegrated. I held the tatters of my blouse closed with one hand and shimmied my skirt down with the other, while Raph adjusted his suit and buttoned his jacket, covering his bare chest.
Who said that?
Both of us looked frantically around for the voice that had spoken. No one was here. The town square was completely devoid of life. I met Raphael's eyes and frowned. He was confused, too. With my star powers blazing through me, I could almost feel everything alive within 100 square radius. I could sense all the mourners singing and wiping tears from their eyes in the pub behind us. The young Belgian couple in the bakery over on Main Street, firing up their ovens. Even the people in the houses beyond that, sleeping peacefully. One young mother sat up, blinking, confused, woken by the slight tremor beneath the ground. It wasn't the ancient who had spoken. He was silent and invisible, stuck in the pocket dimension in front of me. I could feel him, incoherent with rage, ready to explode. "Raphael," I whispered. "What was that?"
"Me, you blistering buffoon,"
the little gravelly voice said from right beside me. I swiveled around and blinked. A stone gargoyle sat there beside the park bench, barely the size of a small dog. Carved out of solid rock, crouching down, with a grotesque, overly muscular frame, a heavy-ridged brow, wide mouth open, and huge fangs bared. It was tiny and made out of rock. It wasn't animated, and it definitely wasn't moving now. The statue had been next to the park bench when I stumbled out of Benson's wake, looking for somewhere to puke. I'd dismissed it as a new addition to the town square, a random, slightly intimidating artwork of some sort. This town was full of rich, eccentric artists, so I didn't give it a thought. Plus, I was very drunk and not really paying attention. It wasn't alive, so I didn't worry about it. It wasn't alive now either, but the voice had come from somewhere. I edged closer, staring at the gargoyle intently. The fangs were a bit much. I reached out with a finger and tapped on the rock. It snapped.
"My God, woman! Keep your fingers to yourself, as if you haven't done enough already!"
I fell back on my ass and blinked. "Christ on a bike!" The gargoyle unfroze again and sneered at me.
"Oh, surprised, are we? Imbecile! What did you think I was doing here?"
I sat up and dusted off my palms. "I thought you were someone's weird craft project, actually. Something not worthy of notice, obviously."
"Bitch!" The gargoyle snapped his claw-tipped fingers at me. "You should be trembling in fear."
"At what?" I let out a bark of laughter. "At you? I've done shits bigger than you, sweetheart."
"My love."
Raphael leaned down, extended his hand, and helped me to my feet. He met my eyes.
"It is a gargoyle."
"I'm not blind, Raph. I know what he is." I kept my words light, because it was almost impossible for me to concentrate on anything right now. The fear swimming in my lover's eyes was throwing a bucket of cold water all over my libido. There was a gargoyle right here, right next to me. Apparently it was bad news. The worst kind, in fact. Gargoyles have been carved all throughout time by great master carvers and used to adorn great buildings and mighty cathedrals. Their creators spun great stories around these sculptures. Their purpose was to guard against the gravest danger. Most humans don't realize how magical they are, and it would come as a surprise to these master carvers that the thing they created for a purpose could actually be used for that purpose. These great artists that created gargoyles did it with an intention, to guard against danger. So when the gravest danger approached, the inanimate rock could be inhabited by a guardian spirit, a spirit guide that had been through several hundred incarnations and had a good knack of knowing when the shit was about to hit the fan. These spirit guides found it easy to use a gargoyle as a vessel to carry them towards the danger so they could sound a warning. I'd met several in my lifetime. They were always bad news. This one could have chosen a more intimidating vessel, though. He was only the size of a corgi. I peered down at the little thing. "Where did you come from?" He unfroze in that unsettling way of his and snapped his fangs at me.
"My name is Viscount Claude Clement de Champ," he announced grandly, tossing his stone head. "You may call me the Viscount."
Winker. No, I'll call you Claude.
He was called to manifest about an hour ago, so I found the closest vessel to this location," he said, jabbing a claw towards the portal. "I manifested in the sculpture on the other side of the little church over there."
He rubbed his hands over his ridiculously muscled torso.
"The six-pack is a bit much, I'll admit. I like the fangs, though."
"You've been there for a whole hour?" He nodded. "You've been, watching us?" He curled his lip.
"If you are wondering if I enjoyed watching you two make love on this park bench, the answer is no. You rot like animals. It is disgusting. You should probably not bite her again,"
He nodded at Raphael.
Not unless you want to turn her.
Only humans could be turned into vampires. There were precise steps to trigger the vamp metamorphosis, and it didn't work for everyone, even if you got all the steps right. First, you need to be completely human. It didn't work on shifters, or anyone with even a drop of fey blood. Then, you need to be bitten 3 times by an ancient vampire. And they had to be old, so they'd have enough of the right pathogens to trigger the genes to activate. Then, you needed to be drained of most of your own blood, and you'd have to drink the ancient vampire's blood. Lots of it. Enough to put the ancient vampire's life in danger, in fact. The metamorphosis wasn't something that ever happened accidentally, and it would never happen to me. I wasn't human to start with. Raphael was probably ancient enough to have the right pathogens, but I would never put his life in danger by draining his own blood. It was a good thing, too, because I liked it when he bit me. I was looking forward to more of that in the future. I rolled my eyes. Do those little stone bumps you call eyes actually work, Claude? Can you actually see me? He snorted.
I wish I couldn't. That outfit is hideous. I understand you are attending a funeral. So you have no respect for the dead.
I mean, can you see that I'm not human? My skin was still glowing golden. I waved my hand, showing him the red-gold sparkles that followed in the night air. He made a rude noise.
Bah! I can see, but I don't care. Your humanity can be turned up and down like a dial.
He ran his gaze over me, assessing every single inch, his expression distasteful.
Whatever you are, you are still human enough to be turned vampire, if you're not careful.
Okay. Speaking of dials, can you dial back the French sassiness?
None.
He glared at me.
The source compels me here to guard this spot. You want me, you take me as I am.
Who said anyone wanted you? I muttered under my breath. Okay, I waved my hand carelessly. I couldn't let this tiny, ugly little gargoyle get to me. So what are you doing here, Claude? He rolled his eyes again.
Putain de sa mère la pute! Are you some sort of moron? What do you think I am doing here, poofias?
A low growl came from Raphael.
Watch yourself, Vicomte,
he said, wrapping an arm around me, so I was slightly behind him.
You may be here for a worthy purpose, but if you insult my mate one more time, I will wrench your spirit out of that stone vessel and banish you back to the astral plane. Then, the destruction of this earth will be on both our heads.
I turned to stare at Raphael. Destruction of Earth? Dramatic much? The gargoyle ran his eyes over Raphael.
You are prettier than she is, so I will hold my tongue. You seem smarter, too. She seems unable to grasp the gravity of the situation.
He unfroze and leapt to his feet, perching on the edge of the park bench so we could meet our eyes.
Whatever has come through this portal has triggered the apocalypse,
he declared. I rolled my eyes. I hate to rain on your parade, Claude, but the thing that has just come through the portal has been on Earth many times. In fact, he was only here a few months ago. He's the bane of my existence, actually. I gritted my teeth. Now I've got him trapped, and I finally get to find out why he's been hunting me. He's not going to destroy the Earth. His only beef is with me. He's an ancient, powerful creature, yes, but he showed no interest in taking over the earthly realm.
Oh, it's all about you, is it? It's not what he is, it is what he will do. And I hate to break it to you, sweetie.
He sneered at me.
He is not trapped.
I arched an eyebrow. Yes, he is. He can't get out.
He can go back up to the portal, Claude pointed out. He has not done that yet. He is still on this plane of existence.
I clenched my fists. I didn't want him to go back. I finally had him where I wanted him. Well, I still can't see the danger. He can't stay on the earthly plane longer than 3 days. It seems to be a rule of our dimension for him. So even if I can't open the pocket dimension and beat the shit out of him, And even if he doesn't leave through the portal...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?